Hi, I'm Joey Caffone, and I'm about to have a productive conversation with Mike Vardy.
Welcome to A Productive Conversation with Mike Vardy. I'm Mike Vardy, and I am holding a very heavy book in my hands. Heavy, not just in terms of how big it is, but there's a lot in it. And man, I really enjoyed this, and I enjoyed this conversation. The book is The Laws of Creativity. The person I'm talking to today, Joey Caffone. He's been on the program before. We'll link to that in the show notes. He is just a guy who I've had a great deal of admiration for over the years. And this book just strengthens and galvanizes that admiration. He's the founder and CEO of Baron Fig, an award-winning designer and entrepreneur as well. And I mean, I love Baron Fig stuff, but I have to say, like, I mean, this goes hand in hand. We talk about this too, because Joey talks about how this goes hand in hand with what he does with Baron Fig. We talk about the different laws. We talk about the way the book's been constructed. And we ultimately get to the idea of how creativity and productivity are related. This is a great book. This is a great conversation. Let's get to it. Here is my conversation, and a productive one at that, with Joey Caffone. Joey, thanks for joining me so much on A Productive Conversation.
Mike, thanks for having me. I'm psyched, man. It's always a good conversation. I feel like it's been too long.
It has been. I mean, my plan last fall in 2022 was, or 2021 rather, was to go to New York. My son and I had a whole plan to go to New York. I was going to swing by the Baron Fig offices, and then this thing, and actually I could have done it on my own, but because my son, you know, was under 12, we didn't know what that was going to look like. But he is harping on me for a trip to New York and DC and wants to do all that stuff in the museum. So we will hopefully get to see each other in person in the not too distant future, because I'm excited to like shake your hand and congratulate you on this book I'm holding in my hands. The Laws of Creativity, Unlock Your Originality and Awaken Your Creative Genius. And this is not a thin book. If you're watching this live, this is how long, I mean, okay. So as I was going through it, this is clearly like the product of some journaling initially, like putting it like, is this, you know what I mean? Like the laws, like let's go into that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, good intuition, man. I was taking notes for this book, for like a decade. You know, I think it started in Apple Notes, and then it went to Evernote, and then it went to Apple Notes again, and then it went to Notion. And I've been across like five or six phones probably have been taking notes, so yeah, the book is 39 laws, as you said, and it's like 438 pages, and there's three sections. Yeah, it's a hearty book. It is not one of those business leaders write a book that's 30,000 words so that they can get more leads type of book. No, it's like I genuinely wrote a book that I hope will serve the purpose of enlightening people on creativity and how it works and how they can harness it.
So the laws in here, and there's the way you've constructed this book, because this is published through Baron Fig's imprint, right? It's published through your so it's essentially self-published, right?
Yeah, it's in this weird middle space.
Yeah.
Because it's not a, when you think self-published, a lot of times you think of the soft cover, bright white paper. It's not that.
No, you can tell the difference. You literally can tell the difference between like, quote, a self-published book. A lot of them, not all. There's some really good ones too. But this does not feel in that vein at all. This feels like rock solid, and it's hardback, and it's well put together. But one of the things that I like about the way the book's put together is if you want to get into the book and you pick it up, you can just go to the laws at a glance if you wanted to. They're right in the back. You could say, okay, what are these 38 laws? And you kind of give a bit of a crib note on each. Were those crib notes kind of the beginnings for you? Like in that journaling process, like here they are, and then you kind of fleshed it out a bit?
So I took all those notes, and then when it was time, it was December 2020, we were stuck in quarantine. I was sitting at the kitchen table, and I was telling my wife about this book I really wanted to write, and she stopped me mid-sentence, and she was like, dude, we are stuck at home in a quarantine. If you do not write this book now, I don't think you're going to write it. And I was like, oh, crap, you're right. So I went, and the next day I wrote the table of contents, and I named the laws. I had not written the laws, but I named them what I kind of knew where they were going. Mm-hmm. And that ended up being the table of contents. And I just boom, I had my map. I was off to the races. 11 months later, I had a first draft that was around 82,000 words.
So which of the laws when you were writing the book was the one that either you remember as the first one? So not necessarily in order, because I don't know. I mean, you could tell me if they were listed in order, because that's not normally the way it goes. Which one was the first one? And then which one was the last one that you're like, okay, we're good to go?
Yeah. So I did write the book in order. I wrote it from like front to back.
Okay.
More or less. And so the law of expression is the first one, which is just essentially embrace the parts of you that others call weird and don't hide what makes you different. And there's a little bit more to it. But I will say that there was a law, the last law, that not that I wrote, but I couldn't find the right name for. And I finally figured it out in part three, law 34, the law of symbiosis. I had like, it was like the law of connectedness first. And I was like, this just sounds stupid. And actually someone, Andy at work, helped me figure it out. And that law reads that your body's more than just a container for your brain. It directly affects the quality of your thinking. Staying physically active will help you reap the rewards of improved cognitive performance. Like, and this is, it sounds intense, but this is in the part three where the laws are, how do you get to the next level? And so these set of laws are quite intense in general.
Well, and again, the way the book's constructed, you don't just talk about like, here are the quote crib notes on each, but hey, here are the doubts that I'm having. Which law should I look at? Like, and you've got very, like that I can really appreciate, because it's almost like, and correct me if I'm wrong, like go to the back of the book, start there and then dig deeper, right? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So I wrote this book where you could read it in a couple of ways. Like, you can read this front to back, absolutely. And I wrote it with that in mind. And I wanted every chapter as a story about somebody in history and principles that are illustrated and so on. But you can also read it as a reference, like a dictionary of laws. And like you said, there's on page 417 in the back, there's this section called Common Creative Doubts and How to Overcome Them. And essentially, I list about a dozen different doubts that you can have about creativity. And I give you the chapters that speak to it. So, for example, there's one that says, I am starting too late or I am too old. And I list the two laws that can help you overcome that doubt. Or, you know, there's I am afraid to fail, or I don't have good ideas, or I'm not sure how to start. So I've created the book where it's actually, there's a few ways you can consume it. And it's funny you brought that up. No one's ever brought that up in, you know, all these conversations, but that's one of my most proud features, is being able to address different threads of conversation.
We talked about this on Eureka when I was on, and we talked about the importance of flexibility in approach in a lot of ways, right? Like we talked about how with time crafting, like, it's not I got to start with today and work towards the future. Like, there's no prescribed, like, you must do it this way. And I think that, I'm imagining it, a law falls into this, but this idea of flexibility, it allows people to embrace things and lean into them a bit more. It makes it more inviting, doesn't it?
It does. There's, you know, you're firing on all cylinders, man. The biggest lesson that I got from the book as a human, that the book taught me something, was the law of growth. Learning has no limits, and don't be content to master one skill and neglect others. So without diversification, your strengths turn to weaknesses. And I consider myself, I mean, I am a highly disciplined person, you know, up at 5, exercise, meditate, read, all sorts of stuff before the day even starts. And that chapter is about Bruce Lee. And I would consider myself now sort of a student of Bruce Lee in how he championed flexibility within rigidity. Yeah, there's a beauty to those. So yeah, I mean it's certainly a thing that is spoken about without spoiling too much.
Well, and the adaptability factor too. Speaking of Bruce Lee, like the idea of Jeet Kune Do was like, hey, I'm going to take things that I've learned from different things. And there's that famous quote, absorb what's useful add your own discard. You know, I'm paraphrasing it, but this idea of when he created Jeet Kune Do was like, okay, I've learned a lot of this stuff. Here's how I can make it maybe not better, but also like more accessible, right? Where it's like, oh, where's this idea of, you know, and this is what I think when you create like laws and you say like, these are, and laws are, it's a strong word, but when you say like, people want like a framework, they want to, okay, this follows this, I'm listening to this thing. It gives them something to pay attention to. And one of the things you bring up, we're going to talk about the attention pie in a little bit, cause I love that piece. But, I think that when you create a framework that promotes flexibility, but also, like you said, adaptability, and there's a timelessness to it. And you said you were building this book over the past decade. There's got to be like these have a timelessness to them, don't they? These laws, all of them have a timelessness to them that you can't, it's hard to pull holes in that.
Yeah. I like to describe it best is like, I'm not inventing the laws of creativity. You know, Newton didn't invent the law of gravity. He just described what was already occurring. And so for me, you know, whether it's the way you think or what you're doing or how to excel, these are just things that exist as a reliable pattern that I've witnessed and engaged with and tested and discussed, and it proven over and over again. And I'm just recording them, which is why I don't believe there's been a book like this. You know, when I took this book and I originally was sharing it with some people who knew far more about writing books than me, editors that had, there's one editor that had just gotten done, I won't name the book, but he had just gotten done editing one of the best-selling books in the world. And I brought him my idea and he said, you can't have 39 laws. You should have 5 or 7. And I said, but that is, I cannot, like, I'm telling you, I can't, as palatable as that should be, it doesn't fit. And I think that's why this book has not been written until now.
Well, and I think the reason that becomes challenging is that the attention span of people is like, I can't dig into these 39 things. But at the end of the day, you're not asking people to plow through this thing either. I mean, it's as I was going through it, like I, you know, the girth of the book alone almost precludes you from doing that to a degree. But also, it's like I love a book where, no matter how long or many pages or whatever, you can't, if you try to plow through it, you lose the essence of what the book is trying to do, right?
I can see, yeah. I mean, I'm sad that I can't read my book to know what it's like. You know what I mean? Like I remember so much more than I ever thought I would, like paragraph for paragraph, but I'm with you. I wonder what it's like to read through a book like this. But I can't speak to it.
And you're so close to it. And that leads me to the next question, which is, which of these laws do you find that you struggle with the most?
Ooh, man, that's a tough one. My gut reaction is to say, Mike, I'm pretty damn good at all these, which is why I'm qualified to write this book.
Is there a law? The law of arrogance, I think, is the one.
I will say there is one specific thing, a portion of. So there's the law of adventure. Okay, again, we're really quoting from the back of the book here, in the laws of excellence. And it says learning has no limits. It's routinely venture into the unknown so that your pool of inspiration never grows stagnant. Okay.
Right.
And then I talk about the localized and the expansive worlds that you can adventure for. Okay. Mm-hmm. I am not a good traveler. I'm not a good traveler. I really enjoy, I joke with my friends. They know I could be in a room with no windows and I would have the time of my life for a long time. Like when we quarantined for COVID, I would say that it was actually an improvement in terms, you know, in terms of just staying home and doing my thing. Mm-hmm. So that is something that I, having written this and now saying that, having to say how important it is, I am now pushing myself to travel more. So that is something I suck at.
Right.
But okay. I have gone to a bunch of places, but I just suck at it.
No, and why I bring that up is that you've got a lot of, you know, again, back of the book, but there's some gold here, like the original terms. Like you've got, like, I mean, you've spent time in these things so much that you've had to codify them for yourselves to a degree, right? And then you're passing on that codification. The attention pie is one. I love it because it's very visual. It's very visual, but also it does. I mean, anytime you can create something that is applicable to anyone, you know, like, for example, when I talk about projects and I tell people, like, have you ever gone, like, tell me what it's like to drive a car or go grocery shopping. And they're like, well, I go grocery shopping. I'm like, no, but all the steps. And they're like, they tell me all the steps, make the list. Do it. I'm like, okay, so that's a project. No, it's a task. I'm like, no, it's multiple steps. And then you're like, oh, right. I'm like, so, and when you're cooking when you're making food at home and you've got a recipe, if the recipe isn't spelled out for you, will the food work? Right. With the attention pie, it's like people know what a pie looks like. And then if they see a whole pie, they're like, okay, I get to focus. But when you start dividing it up, and it's very, how important was it for you to say, I need to take some of this heady stuff? Cause it can be pretty heady. Cause I mean, like you said, it was from journaling. And how challenging or even fun was it for you to go, okay, how do I take this law and give it to somebody who can go, oh, okay, without getting stuck in the, you know, the vernacular or these terms that that may keep them from grasping it?
A lot of the, you know, when I sat down to write this book, I had already done so much of the work. And right. What I mean by doing the work is at Baron Fig, now I've designed and art directed over 100 products from zero to launch. I've taught design at school. And a lot of this stuff has evolved just because when I first tried to communicate these ideas, I got, you know, a furrowed brow as people didn't understand what the hell I was saying. So I had to massage these thoughts and the attention pie. Is the one of the things I came up while teaching, which was trying to help people understand that limits are good and helpful in communicating an idea. So for our listeners out there, the attention pie is very simple. Imagine a pie with 100 slices, and every time you add a concept to your idea, you divide it evenly amongst the slices. So in the book, I say, you know, if I give you a flower and they're just the flower, all of your attention is on this flower, and it can make a powerful impact. But if I tie a red ribbon around the flower, now I've reduced the impact of the flower by 50%, 50 slices and 50 slices. And then I said, if you hand it to them in a vase, now I've reduced it further to just 33 1/3%. So you've taken something that originally had the power of 100 slices of your full attention. Even though you thought you've added things to bolster the message, you've actually diluted the core thing you are trying to communicate. And so that's the attention pie in a nutshell. And those ideas were really fun to distill into words and make little diagrams. Just, I'm glad that resonated. That's one of my favorites as well.
And the do board, I really like that as well. The idea of, yeah, that one was another great one. That there is so much depth in this and in the book, and it shows that it's been something that's been developed over the years, and Baron Fig's developed over the years as well. But now you're a published author. So you're no longer just, you know, co-founder of Baron Fig. I mean, you're not just running that. Now you've got this other thing. How are you? And you've got all these other things, like the balance aspect. How is that for you already with the book out? And what are you doing to kind of make sure that, again, you're not split too much with all the things that you've got going on, and can still adhere to some of these laws you've got in here, or many of the 39 as possible?
That's a good question. If you look at Baron Fig and the laws of creativity, they're really tightly intertwined. Baron Fig makes tools to help you do your best thinking. The laws of creativity is a book that teaches you how to master your ideas, because they serve one another. If I were writing a business book and trying to do Baron Fig, for example, I think that would really be splitting my personality, my attention. It would be diverting. But in a nutshell, my work focuses on helping people turn their ideas into reality. The book does it. Baron Fig does it. So I'm able, even though it's two separate things, the Venn diagram is actually like 90% overlap.
Yep.
And I've just got these little extra things on each side that I have to tend to. So it's the law of simplicity, where I am limiting myself in the things that I'm really trying to strive for, you know, my personal mission, let's say.
I want to talk about the law of precision, and because I think that, and I know in relation to creativity, we're going to dive into that. But one of the things that I've talked about when it comes to procrastination and when it comes to overwhelm and productivity is, and we talked about this a little bit, I touched on it with the whole grocery shopping, you know, analogy, is the idea of precision taking time and thoughtfulness that we seem to either be rushed through, or we have the ego that comes in and goes, no, I know how to do this. It's not a big deal. Can we talk about the law of precision and the importance of it? Because it falls into the action phase, the laws of action. And I think it's one that people tend to gloss over, which is a problem.
Yeah, it is an important one in the process. It's the second law in that chapter, in that section. And so it's quite important. And the law of precision essentially says, sharpen your understanding of a problem through investigation and peel back the layers until you are left with a single question that, when answered, resolves the heart of the matter. So before you can get to work, you need to sharpen your understanding of what it is you're going to do. And you're right. This is something that can be glossed over so easily. People want to jump in and get to work. They want to show their productivity. They want to get to the end, which is the worst thing you could want to do when you start, even though that's the obvious goal. But there's actually three portions to achieving a solved problem, let's say, which, you know, people think of problem solving as, boom, this is it, I'm problem solving, when there's actually two steps before, which is problem seeking and problem sharpening. So problem seeking is like, first, do I understand and know the thing that I'm trying to accomplish? Like, what is the actual problem here? And then when you think you've got it, how tightly can you like carve away all the garbage around it, so you have the perfect little nugget that you're actually saying, this, if I solve this, I've solved the problem. And we often skip those two. And what happens is you have a lot of wheel spinning. And I'm sure you're familiar with that. Like, productivity can be easily wasted if you are spinning your wheels on things that don't actually get to the heart of what you're trying to do.
Right.
I
want to make sure, because there is a lot, like I said, as I was going through the book, which, by the way, has a built-in bookmark, so I did dog ear, but I didn't have to dog ear nearly as much. I will say that you know, the way you've divided up this book, it's very, very well crafted, not just in terms of the actual, you know, the way you receive it, but also the way it's been constructed. There's very little, you know, it's very balanced. There's an order to it. But again, like we talked about, you can kind of approach it in a multitude of ways. There is a law of chaos that's following in the law of greatness area. And you know, I mean, you can't really see it right now if you're watching it live, but I do have like the Vision. He's a comic book. He's from MCU. And one of the things he says is people don't understand that order and chaos are two sides of the same thing in a lot of ways. Without chaos, there can't be order. I want to talk about the laws of chaos, because there is this rigidity. We actually talked about this on Eureka. You asked me, like, Mike, your framework, it seems rather rigid. And it wasn't like you weren't. It was just from someone who wasn't, you know, if I was teaching somebody time crafting, I could see that. Like, Mike, but it seems like this path is very, you know, there's a rigidity to it. But it's interesting, the more you do something, the more fluid it feels than rigid. I think when it comes to chaos, you talk about this adaptability factor. I think a lot of people, again, much like precision, they struggle with being adaptable. Mm-hmm. Can we touch on that law and how it applies to the ability to elevate to greatness?
Yes. I mean, the law of chaos is, literally says learn to be adaptable rather than presupposing an outcome. You know, you don't only get the most from the immediate circumstance, you'll enjoy yourself more. And I want to talk about that presupposing an outcome piece. Mm-hmm. So in very early on in the book, you probably encountered it in the intro where I say, you know, there's three disservices that society does to us. And I say that because it's evident. NASA has proven this. Okay. NASA did a study that found 98% of five-year-olds are creative geniuses. That goes all the way down to 2% of adults. So there is a repeatable, reliable screw-up that society is doing to get us from 98 to 2. That's no accident. And one of the big things, I think, that from everything that I've read and done and researched and experimented with, is clearly school teaches us to see the end from the beginning. Okay. Right. And now I'm not even being hyperbolic here. No colorful language. Literally, you'll get a paper that will say, you'll get an assignment that will say, write a 3-page paper that explains the plot of Catcher in the Rye. You know mm-hmm. what you're going to end up with, or fill out this worksheet. When you see what's going to be done, solve this geometry proof. You always know where you're supposed to end up, but life and creativity is the opposite. You never see the ending. Adaptability is paramount because life is essentially chaotic. And Mike, I don't know about you, but like I have a very strong opinion on the word chaos, where it's like actual chaos is really, there's no such thing as the mainstream understanding of chaos, like that it's actually random. It doesn't exist.
Right.
Chaos is just so many things happening in such a complex way that we can't see the pattern. So it's mm-hmm. like you said, it's order, but just so complex, it doesn't seem orderly. Right.
Yeah. Dr. Fate, another guy, he says, I don't work for the Lords of Order. I work for balance. You know, like it's the idea order. Like that's the key. Right. So continue. Sorry.
Yes. No, beautiful. Well said. So you've got chaos is really, you can't see the pattern. So what do? Just say, oh, I'm screwed. No, you sharpen your ability to adapt. And in the book, I talk about a few different ways. I really enjoy the having a conversation with the present moment. I like to call play, okay? And it's we say children play, and of course, you know, we've established that they're creative geniuses. But play is incorrectly ascribed only to something kids do, when play is actually just dancing with the moment, being adaptable. And so I came up with 5 rules of play in the book, you know, and I'll briefly, one is be curious. 2 is do things that don't matter. 3 is ignore what others think. 4 is let yourself fall. And 5 is expect nothing. And all those 5 points pull you into the moment and stop you from looking into the future or the past. And when you're in the moment, it sounds so woo-woo, but I do go into so much detail in how like this is actually practical and almost mathematical, is you start to just connect with what you're doing and you're able to adapt because you're there. You're there with what's happening. It's a beautiful thing.
Yeah. Before I let you go, because I want to be respectful of your time and the listeners' time and those who happen to be watching this live that are members of Time Crafting Trust that have the ability to check out this particular episode as in the live stream. I'll share more at the tail end of this episode about how you can join Time Crafting Trust if you want. Why did Mike Vardy have Joey on the show to talk about what's the link between creativity and productivity, Mike? Like, why you've listened to this? Okay, what's the link? To wrap things up, you've written a book called The Laws of Creativity. Creativity is linked to productivity. But I want to hear your insights on that, because that can't be, you know, understated. I think there's something there. And you of all people who I've talked to over the years would understand this.
Right. Well, creativity in a nutshell is the practice of ideas. You have 6,000 ideas a day, whether you want to or not. So essentially, creativity is mastering, improving, and controlling those. It's being more productive with your ideas, plain and simple. And you know what? There's real benefits. Kids are twice as likely to go to college when they're creative. Adults are happier and earn more money, literally. And organizations who invest in creativity have higher revenue growth and their whole team are more productive. So there's a host of reasons why not only is creativity linked to productivity, but why creativity is something you should pay attention to.
You know, it's interesting because as we wrap up, I've been thinking about the word and productivity. I've been looking at it for many years. And the term productivity and to be productive was to bring into being. That was the initial etymology of the term. And it's morphed into the definition of the power or quality of being able to produce, especially in abundance. So all of a sudden it went from just make something and make something that's like, again, that qualitative element to more of a make stuff and make lots of it, right? Or bring something. So there's an imbalance there that I'd love to help solve with my work. And I can tell you that when it comes to the book you've put together, it goes a long way for that and for, you know, again, creativity. So you're dispelling a lot of myths. And man, like I said, this is when you pick up this book, and you absolutely should, it's something that you can return to again and again and again. And that is powerful. So great job on this, Joey. I really appreciate you taking the time and putting this together. I knew you were working on something like something. I didn't know it was this, and I'm glad it was the thing that you put together.
Thanks, Mike. Appreciate that.
So the book is called The Laws of Creativity. Where can people pick up this book, and where can they keep up with you and the work you're doing?
Good question. Three ways, everyone out there. First, check out The Laws of Creativity at joeycaffone.com/book. Second, visit Baron Fig. See some of the products that we've made at baronfig.com. And third, say hello on Instagram or Twitter at Joey Caffone. Would love to hear your thoughts on the book and see what you're working on.
Joey, thanks for having a productive conversation with me today.
It certainly was, Mike. Thank you so much, man. It's been a pleasure.
Big thanks to Joey for joining me on the program. And it was a live stream that was streamed to the members of my Time Crafting Trust community. You can learn more about Time Crafting Trust as well at productivityist.com/trust. But I don't want you to just do that. I want you to learn more about Joey. And you can do that by checking out all of the things we talked about in the show notes. Just go to productivityist.com/podcast440 to make that happen. Another thing I want you to do is to support our sponsors. That's one way you can support the show. You can check out the sponsors you heard on this episode by going to productivityist.com/podcast sponsors. And then finally, we've got great episodes coming up, so I don't want you to miss those as well. Subscribe to the podcast. It's easy to do. You can do it right within the app you're using right now. And when you do that, you're going to be able to easily search the archives as well as be able to pick up on next week's guest far easier. And next week, we've got Todd Henry joining us. So I'm excited for that one. I'm excited for the next several months of guests we've got, and I'm excited that you joined me today. That's it for this episode. I'm Mike Vardy, the host of A Productive Conversation with Mike Vardy, reminding you to stop doing productive and start being productive. See you later.